Welcome to worship today. It's good to be back with you after a great trip with the youth to Houston. We had a lot of fun. We walked a lot. We spent good time together in worship and service, and we were on a bus for ages. And we are looking forward to sharing some more with you. We're going to do that as part of worship next week is the plan. So I hope you can join us for that. And if not, corner one of the young people and ask them what their trip was like, and they'll be glad to tell you. But it was a really good trip. We're very grateful for your support and your prayers. We're very grateful that we made it there and back safely. Ask for your prayers again, because I'm going this afternoon, leaving out to take six Holly Grove kids to Luther Rock for confirmation camp, and they'll be there through Saturday of this week. So keep us in your prayers again for that we'd have a good time and safe travels and be open to the ways God is moving in our lives this week. As far as other announcements go, there is a council meeting immediately following worship today. We're going to have it in this back Sunday school room with the long table. So if you're a council person, if you just, as soon as we finish here, head back that way. We're going to try to get you out of here quickly. This will be our normal July meeting, but we're going to try to make it a very, very quick meeting so that we can all eat lunch. And because I'm going to have to get on the road, I got to put a few more things in a suitcase this afternoon before we head up to Luther Rock. Are there other announcements we should be aware of? I did not get in the bulletin I did get in the bulletin. Look at that. Pastor Vern Kinard is going to be installed at St. Luke's in Tyro this afternoon, and we're all invited to that. If you've got connections to that congregation especially, you might check that out. Pastor Vern was ordained just a couple of weeks ago. He's fresh out of seminary. I went last night to the ordination of Cassie Overcash, who is the new pastor as of last night at Grace in Thomasville. So you all got an old pastor now relative to the county. So I don't know how that feels. But are there other announcements this morning? Prayer shawls, please.
So this prayer shawl is for Stephanie Hasty. She's friends of Mandy and Shane Lawrence. She has recently lost her mother and her grandmother and her dog, and so she needs our prayers.
And as we talk about folks who are in our prayers, it happened after the bulletin was printed this week, but Jana Waitman's brother-in-law, James, passed away on Thursday, so we'll keep the family of James in our prayers too, and we'll have that in the bulletin for next week. We wish happy birthday this week to Gyla, James, Mary, Brandy, and Anderson, and happy anniversary to George and Anna and Kevin and Holly. Are there other folks we should add to that list this week? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
We're going to pass around one more prayer shawl for Jana's sister, so if you'd bless that one too, please. We stand as we begin our worship on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. Christe eleison,
Christ have mercy.
Kyrie eleison, Lord.
Let us pray. God of covenant, in your baptism you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up here on the steps for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning. You guys can come sit up here with me. I got a question for you guys. Now, I know Marcus has never gotten a trophy for anything. Brody or Isabel, have you guys ever gotten a trophy for anything? What did you get a trophy for, Isabel?
Soccer.
For soccer. So you played soccer and you showed up and played really hard and you got a trophy for that. That's awesome, yeah. Sometimes we get trophies. Do you know what a trophy is, Brody? Yeah, you know what it is. Marcus, a trophy is like a little statue or something. This is not, I'll explain it later, yeah. It's something we usually think of getting when we do something that's outstanding or special, or we win something. That's usually we get a trophy. But you know that one time I got a trophy just for eating dinner? Have you ever gotten a trophy for eating dinner, Brody? I got this trophy It says, Happy Valentine's Day, Taz, Indian cuisine. I got this trophy in 2012 because I showed up and had dinner, and they gave me a trophy for that. That's pretty cool, huh? You've never gotten a trophy for having dinner, have you? No, you might want to check with your parents about that. So this, I didn't even work for this trophy. You worked for yours, right? You showed up and played soccer probably all season, I bet. I didn't even work for this one. They just gave it to me just because they wanted to give it to me. They gave me a trophy and said, good job, you're here and you're eating, well done. I thought that was pretty cool. I've never gotten a trophy for that before. Sometimes when we think about God, we think that we have to do a whole lot of things for God's approval or for God to tell us, good job, I love you. And that's not the way it works. We hear in our reading from Corinthians today, God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient, which means all it takes for God to love and care about us is the fact that we are God's children, and that's all it takes. And we are God's children, so God loves and cares about us, even if we haven't really done a whole lot that's impressive, like all I did was show up and eat dinner and they gave me this for it. All we do is sort of show up and God says, I love you, you are mine, I care for you, and we don't have to do anything at all for that. God loves us just how we are, just the way that we are, and calls us to be his people and follow him, which I think is awesome. I bet one day, Brody, you might get a trophy for something, and maybe Marcus too, and maybe even Everett, you might have that in your future. Who knows what it will be for? Maybe for eating dinner, maybe for playing soccer. But whatever happens, whether you get trophies or not, God loves you, and there's nothing that you could do to change that. Will you guys pray with me? Lord God, thank you for loving us. Help us to love each other. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, guys. If you are going to Children's Church, we can line up at that door over there. Or you're welcome to return to your seats, too. Thanks, guys.
The first reading is a reading from Ezekiel. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, mortal, I have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Locked on. Okay, I got back up. The psalm for today is Psalm 123, and it will be read responsively. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt.
Our soul has had more than its fill of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud.
The second reading is a reading from 2 Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard in me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus left the place where he had brought a little girl back to life from the dead and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? Who is this that wisdom has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the gospel of the Lord. So the bus ride to Houston was long. I mean, long. The first day we left out of Salisbury, and we went all the way that same day to Lafayette, Louisiana, which is clear on the other side of Louisiana. That's 13 and a half hours of driving time, not to mention stops for meals and the restroom for 51 people at a time, which is not quick. It was such a long day on the road that we had to pick up another driver in Alabama to get us the rest of the way there because, you know, each driver can only go so far in one day safely. So to break up the monotony of this long trip, I tend to get a little silly. I get on the bus microphone every so often. It's one of the perks of being in charge of the bus that they let you use the microphone. And I get on the microphone and give weather reports based on nothing more than what I could see out the window. And I'd come up with news bulletins to share. And this trip, the first day, I had each of the five congregations on our bus share some trivia about their congregation just so we'd get to know each other a little bit. And so Holly Grove went first, and a couple of our girls gave some good background about the history of our congregation. And then they threw in some trivia about their pastor, and they said, "And our pastor is a son of a bishop," which is true, but usually I don't tend to go around introducing myself that way, right? It feels kind of funny, I guess, like I don't want people to treat me different for better or for worse because of who my dad is and what his role is in the church. But I'm pretty used to it, actually. In churchy settings, I get introduced as Tim's son a lot. But what I wasn't prepared for was that on this bus ride, as soon as our girls sat down, one of the youth leaders across the aisle from another church leaned over to me and said, "Oh, you're Ruth's brother." And that one I've not heard in some time, but this young man had been at UNC Chapel Hill when my sister was there, and so that was the identifier for me. I was Ruth's brother. This is the way it goes, right, when people don't have personal experience with you to go on. Who your family is becomes one of the most used forms of knowing something about you, right up there with what kind of work you do for a living, which is okay to a degree, right? But it can't be the whole story, can it? I mean, it can say something about your background, but there really has to be also a willingness on the part of this person to be surprised, to be open to the possibility that you are unique and distinct from your relatives for good or for bad. And the people of Jesus' hometown don't seem to be able to make this distinction. Yes, they are astounded by the deeds of power that he does and the wisdom he possesses, but at the end of the day, they are not willing or able to be surprised by how God is at work through Jesus. So no matter what he says or does, they just see him as that carpenter boy from down the road getting too big for his britches. They're offended that he would dare to speak to them with authority. Instead of being open to how God is at work, they try to take Jesus down a peg or two. Isn't this guy Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Which is more than the crowd just saying, "We know you and where you come from." Because the normal way to say that would be, "This guy's Joseph's son." But that's not what they say, right? They say Mary's son. And by going out of their way to avoid identifying him with Joseph, the folks in the crowd are sort of winking at each other here and calling his parentage into question. It's like they're saying, "Oh yeah, boy, we remember your mama running around here pregnant before Joseph was even part of this picture. We're not even sure who your daddy is, so don't go talking to us like you're some kind of big shot around here." Even if some of them had seen for themselves what he did a couple of counties over, at least heard about it, bringing a dead girl back to life, even if they'd seen that in their haste and their pride, they totally miss the incredible things that God is up to in Jesus. And because of this, Jesus can do no deed of power among them. Do we ever fall into the same trap, do you suppose, of missing what God is up to? Being so sure that we know how things work that it reaches the point that God's will among us is not fulfilled because of the ways we get in the way? That's kind of a troubling concept for me sometimes, this idea that somehow the hometown crowd or we could thwart God's plans by our disbelief, by our resistance. But I wonder if instead of being troubled, we should see this as opportunity and invitation. An invitation to be part of what God is up to. Because I think maybe it works like this. Could God, without so much as a snap of God's fingers, make us all believe in God and love God and follow God? Well, I think sure, right? What's the point of being God if you can't do that? But the thing is, God is interested in real relationship with us, not just some sort of servitude or pre-programmed robotic adoration from us. So instead of that snap of the fingers, make it happen, God chooses to do something different. God gives us a role to play. God chooses to let our actions matter. And our actions, sisters and brothers, matter tremendously. Because even if in the end, when all has been revealed, the most skeptical among us will find God's love and mercy irresistible at that point, even if God's got that salvation thing all taken care of, which, by the way, I think God does, even if that's true, our actions and the here and now still matter. Not because God's going to hold them over our heads later, but because with them we have the opportunity to be part of the kingdom of God already, right here, right now in the world. We see glimpses of this happening all the time, some of them in this place. When you all visit the sick, when you pray for one another, when you support one another in struggles, that's the kingdom of God already breaking into this place. When every week, all year during the school year, children at DT are fed through your dollars and our hands, that's the kingdom of God already happening in this place. When in Christian love, you hold your tongue about that person, you know, the one that drives you crazy, that's the kingdom of God already happening. When teenagers who have their worlds turned upside down by an unexpected pregnancy are supported in love by the people of God instead of being ridiculed or shamed, that's the kingdom of God already happening. And I can tell you that when you send your young people to join 31,000 others to serve and learn and play and worship the risen Lord, that's the kingdom of God already happening. God chooses to let us be part of this work, God's work of bringing in the kingdom, the work of making God's grace and mercy visible to a world that desperately needs grace and mercy. In the waters of baptism, we are claimed as God's people no matter what may come. But in addition to being claimed and chosen, we're also sent, right? Like these disciples are sent out, we're sent to share in the work of God by ushering in grace and mercy in the ordinary places of our world. And as we go about that work of God's kingdom, we take faith and confidence that even if we fail, God will not. We're like the toddler here, carrying in that one bag of groceries from the car. God invites us to be part of this work because it's good for us to do it. But make no mistake, with or without our help, God's kingdom is coming. Mommy and daddy are going to make sure the milk gets in. And despite this one scoffing bunch of hometowners, the work of Jesus was not, will not be stopped in the end. The tomb, you remember, is empty. Jesus is risen. The kingdom comes. And God invites us to be part of that kingdom's coming. So let's get to work. Amen.
Let us join together and reaffirm our faith through the use of the Apostles' Creed, found on the screen or on page 105 in the hymnal. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty.
Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Growing in faith and discipleship, we give thanks for God's merciful compassion as we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Lord God, equip all your faithful people for the work of mission. When we are empty-handed, give us partners in ministry. Help us to speak boldly of your promises without reservation or fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks for the faith of young people and all who nurture that faith. Thank you for seeing our group and all those from North Carolina to Houston and back safely, and for the opportunity to gather there in worship, service, and community. Shepherd, Lord, our group leaving today for confirmation camp. Keep us safe as we travel, and help us to be open to encountering you this week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you breathe life into the dust of the earth. Bless the land and all who work it. Bring relief to areas of drought and famine. Send healing rains and cooling breezes to places scorched by sun and heat. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, when the nations are rebellious, raise up prophets and leaders to proclaim your way of justice. Provide for the needs of refugees, immigrants, asylum seekers, and exiles. Protect all who live in areas of war and conflict. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, your grace is sufficient to bring wholeness to human weakness. Restore hope to those suffering hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Strengthen all who are fragile in body, mind, or spirit. Especially we lift Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, Elizabeth, Herbert, Lydia, Greg, the family of James, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you equip disciples throughout the ages to proclaim your kingdom. Lead us by faith until every weakness of this world has been made perfect in the power of your everlasting glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we lift to you these prayers and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your everlasting love and mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly lifted, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy will fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts: freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever.
Amen. We pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement on page 5. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.